إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you once again in our class. We're going to continue reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات. Before that, I would like to convey the salam of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Ubayd ibn Abdullah Al-Jabiri. Allah, I spoke to him this afternoon, and the good news, he's going to give a talk in our seminar, upcoming seminar, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, and he conveyed the salam. Says, convey the salam to our sons and our brothers, and he advised us to continue seeking knowledge. Said, that's what's going to put us on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking knowledge and continue to seek knowledge of the deen of Allah. Aynam. Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu fi, wa hafidahu ta'ala. We're going to continue reading the from the section of Hajj. We're in the last chapters of this section. Babun fi ahkam al-hajj allati tuf'alu fi ayyam al-tashriq wa tawaf al-wada'. In this chapter, the Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu Allah, mentioned some rulings and actions that the pilgrims, the Hujjaz, they perform in Ayyam al-Tashriq. In Ayyam al-Tashriq. Meaning the 11th, the 12th and the 13th of the Hijjah. And also Tawaf al-Wada'. He's going to talk about Tawaf al-Wada'. Because remember, the last point the Shaykh mentioned is that he mentioned in the previous chapter the actions that the pilgrims, the Hujjaj, they perform in the 10th of the Hijjah. Who can remind me what was those? There are four actions that the Hujjaj do on the 10th of the Hijjah. What are they? Preferably, if you give me the order that the Prophet ﷺ did. If not, it's okay to not to make the order. What the Hujjaj do on the day of the Eid? On the day of the Eid, which is the 10th of the Hijjah, those who are performing Hajj, what do they do on that day? Four things. Naam. Jamrat al-Aqaba.
Sacrifice.
The sacrifice.
The
shaving of the hair or trimming entire head.
And
tawaf. Precisely. Which tawaf? There is three tawafs. Tawaf? Tawaf al-wada. That's what we're going to learn today. Tawaf al-wada. Al-ifada. Tawaf al-ifada, or also, if you don't remember this word ifada, call it tawaf al-hajj. Because there is three types of tawaf. Tawaf al-ifada, which is tawaf al-hajj. This you have to do it at that day. Well, actually, you cannot do it before that day. Because some of the ulama, they said you can delay it. But you cannot do it before this day. And then tawaf al-wada', which we're going to learn, that's going to be the last thing you do. And then there is another tawaf, tawaf al-qudum, which is the first thing you make it to Mecca. This is tawaf al-qudum. Alayhin, قال الشيخ وبعد طواف الإفادة يوم العيد يرجع إلى منى فيبيت بها وجوبا لحديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال لم يرخص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحد يبيت بمكة إلا للعباس من أجل سقايته رواه ابن ماجه. So remember on that day, the 10th day, the 10th of the Hijjah, if a person make Jamrat al-Aqaba, slaughter take care of his head, whether shaving it, shaving is better, or trimming the entire head, then that person goes to Mecca, to the Masjid al-Haram, and make tawaf al-ifadah and the sa'i. For the mutamatti', he has to do both, tawaf and sa'i. But for the qarin and the mufrid, if they made the sa'i at the first time when they came to Mecca, that sa'i actually is counted for their hajj. Meaning on this day, on the 10th, they do only tawaf. But on that first time when they just get to Mecca, they choose to make only tawaf, now they have to make sa'i on that day. Clear, right? So those hujjaj, do they make tawaf al-ifadah? Of course, for the mutamatti', he has to do the sa'i after it. Okay? Because the mutamatti', upon them, two tawafs and two sa'i. So what they do? What is the sunnah once you go to the Mecca? Because Mina is far from Mecca. Walking is like an hour. It's an hour. Someone who walks steady with no stop, normal walk, it's like 55 minutes, an hour. We did it, alhamdulillah. So, once you finish tawaf al-ifadah, usually, for those who leave Muzdalifah, right before sunrise, it's going to take them an hour and a half to 2 hours to get to Jamrat al-Aqaba. Okay? They do the Jamrah. And if they have to go to slow, then it's going to take them a couple of hours. But alhamdulillah, now things are easy. You just pay, and some people do it on your behalf. Then by the time you go and shave, and go to your hotel or your villa, wherever you stay in, taking a shower, changing your clothing of ihram, wearing your regular clothing, and then you walk to the haram, then you may make it at the haram by 10 o'clock in the morning, 11. Something like that. Then you're going to make tawaf and the sa'i. It's going to take you a couple of hours to do that because of the crowd. Then you may not finish tawaf and sa'i until like 1:30, 2 o'clock. What you do? This is what is more important now in this chapter. What you do? You have to go back straight to Mina. Not go to the hotel and spend the night in there. Or not. You got to go straight back to Mina to spend the night in Mina. And this is an obligation from wajibat al-hajj. The hajj has conditions, pillars, and obligatory elements. This is from the wajibat of the hajj. Why? Because the Shaykh says, according to this hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet ﷺ did not give permission to anyone to spend this night in Mecca except for Al-Abbas, his uncle. Why? It's not because he's his uncle. No, it happened that Al-Abbas, he was in charge to bring water and to supply water for the pilgrims. You see? So, because that's what he used to do, that's what he was in charge of, make sure that the pilgrims, they have enough water. So he was exempt from this obligation. The ulama, they mention, and those who have valid reasons, like doctors, for example. A doctor making hajj, but he can't stay in Mina because he has to be in a hospital. Hospital outside Mina. He's in the third shift, and he has to be with his patients. So those people too. And those who have a valid excuse, like somebody who has to care for somebody who's sick. Okay? Somebody with his mother. And he has to be next to his mother if she's in a hospital and the like. فَيَبِيتُ بِمِنَا ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ إِنْ لَمْ يَتَعَجَّلْ وَإِنْ تَعَجَّلْ بَاتَ لَيْلَتَيْنِ لَيْلَةَ الْحَادِي عَشَرَ وَلَيْلَةَ الثَّانِي عَشَرَ. How many nights that is obligatory upon the Hijjaj to spend in Mina? 3 nights. That night of the 11th, and the night of the 12th, and the night of the 13th. When we say the night of the 11th, meaning the night before the 11th day. The night that takes them to the 11th day, and the night that takes them to the 12th day, and the night that takes them to the 13th day. However, The first two nights are obligatory upon everybody. The 11th and the 12th is obligatory upon everyone, no exemption, except for those that they have a valid excuse from the legislation. Awlad, pay attention, you guys. Naam, Hudayfa. Now, try to write Jazakumullah Khair, but don't disturb the class, okay? Barakallahu Fikum. Now, as for the third night, which is the 13th, then that's for those who want to spend that night, alhamdulillah, that's better for them. Those who want to leave, they can leave, it's okay. وَيُصَلِّ الصَّلَوَاتِ فِيهَا قَصْرًا بِلَا جَمْعٍ بَلْ كُلَّ صَلَاتٍ فِي وَقْتِهَا. Who can remind me about the Salat in Mina? Because we mentioned that before another chapter. What is the ruling on the Salat in Mina? Naam?
Shortened but not combined.
Ahsant. You pray every Salat in its time. No combining in Mina. However, you shorten the Dhuhr and Asr and Isha. Why? Because they have four rak'at, they become two rak'at each. They become two rak'at each. Now, وَيَرْمِي الْجَمَرَاتِ الثَّلَاثِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ مِنْ أَيَّمِ التَّشْرِيقِ بَعْدِ الزَّوَالِ لِحَدِيثِ جَابِرٍ رضي الله عنه رمى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الجمر يوم النحر ضحى وَأَمَّا بَعْدُ فَإِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ رواه الجماعة. مسلم أبو داود الترمذي النسائي بن ماجه رحمهم الله. So now, when a person go back to Mina, what they do? They don't do. There is nothing to do except for the regular thing that the Muslim do: remembrance of Allah, reading the Quran. If there is a circle of knowledge, you attend of Ahl Sunnah, not the Hizbis and the Mubtadi'ah and the Sufis and the like. Now, if you know that next to you a camp, there is a sheikh or a student of knowledge who from the people of Ahl Sunnah, and you can attend those classes, maybe you went with the group that they have an imam or a student of knowledge, alhamdulillah, that conduct classes of Tawheed and Fiqh and the like, you attend those classes, alhamdulillah, and benefit. Other than that, you get some rest, and you remember Allah all time, read the Quran, make yourself available, especially if you're young and healthy, make yourself available for the elderly in the group. Somebody wants coffee, you go get that coffee. Somebody wants some water, you go get that water. Somebody craving for some yogurt, you're the one that's gonna make that trip to go to the next store right there and give him some yogurt, give him some bananas. Actually, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimah ta'ala, he says, you take some extra money with you. You don't even have to wait and ask, the people ask you. If you see somebody dozing off, you go and get them something. If you see somebody sick and cannot eat the food that they, because in Mina, they just serve you food. Especially if you don't pay extra money, they're just going to give you some rice and some chicken. And you get tired eating the same thing every day. So especially if somebody's sick, they don't want that. They want some fruits, some vegetables. So what you do, you make yourself available. This is how you get an extra from your hajj. You take some extra money, and you go ahead and buy a couple of boxes of oranges and boxes of bananas, of cucumber. Cucumber is very good. Now, things here we took it for granted. People are like, cucumber, I don't know. Okay, in Mina, that cucumber become like gold, man. You're like, man, give me some. Give me one. That's what you'll be looking for. Some tea, some ice cream, whatever. Some nice cold water. You make yourself available so you can do good, alhamdulillah. Stay away from qila qal, he said, she said, blah. And most definitely, stay away from a smartphone. People being there and looking for connections and to check the playoff and all that stuff. Hey, you go in there for the playoff? This is Hajj, man. Forget about what's going on somewhere else. Focus on what you are in. Those days, they're going to go fast. These are the best days of your life. So you focus, you be nice, be kind. Somebody's sick in your group, be next to them. How you doing, akhi? What you need? How do I go to the bathroom? Okay, he can take them. Pick them up if you can. If not, they just lean on your shoulder and be nice to them, be kind. Give them the medicine, help them. That's how Hajj is. Aynam. What you do in these 3 days, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, what you do the Jamarat now. All of them, three of them, because there is three Jamarat, Al-Jamara, Al-Sughra, Wal-Wusta, Wal-Kubra, Wahiyya Al-Aqaba. So now, for each day, you need how many pebbles? Seven. La. You need seven for each of the three Jamarat. Okay, you do the math. So how many you need now? Seven for each of the three. So what's the math now? What's the equation? 21. How you get to 21?
7 times 3.
Okay. Good answer, but I was asking you. Zakallah. 7 times 3, because we have three jamarats. For each one of them, this is a math problem, by the way, right? Ahmed, this is a math problem. They may ask you this. They says, look, if you have to do three jamarats, and you need seven for each of them, how many pebbles you need in total? 22. Minus one. Right? That's 21. Okay.
What's the jamarat?
Al-Jamarat is a stations in the in Hajj there is the Kaaba. You make tawaf around the Kaaba. You don't make tawaf around Arafah or the Jamarat. So the Jamarat is three stations, okay, in one line, close to each other. Maybe there's like 150 to 200 meters between them. And these are places where the Sheikh is going to mention later on, there is a history behind them. That Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went there and Shaitan appears to him when Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered by Allah to slaughter his own son in the dream. But the Shaitan tried to get him away from obeying Allah. So he appears to him in one of those three stations, and Ibrahim alayhi salam threw him with 7 pebbles. So he's gone, he vanished. Then he appears again, he did the same thing, until he vanished, then he appears again. So he said, this is the millah, and what Ibrahim alayhi salam, the origin is in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, okay? But we still do it, okay? الشيطان أزكي من حديد الشيطان ترجمون وملة أبيكم إبراهيم تتبعون, okay? So, that's what you do on that day, on the 11th day, the 12th, and those who choose to stay until the 13th, that's what you do. It is no tawaf, no sa'i in these days. The only thing you do is the jamarat. And there is a time, is after dhuhr, after the zawal, when the sun moved towards the west, meaning when the dhuhr time comes in. You remember on the day of the Eid, the 10th of the Hijjah, as soon as you get to Mina, you can do the Jamrat al-Aqaba, even if it's before dhuhr. But in these 3 days, you have to wait. You don't go before dhuhr, even though you're going to see a lot of people go after Fajr and do it. Now, the sunnah is that you do it, this time starts after dhuhr. قال ابن عمر رضي الله because of this hadith, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he threw the pebbles in Jamrat al-Aqaba on the day of the Eid after sunrise in the morning, but after that when the dhuhr time comes in. And also the statement of ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال كنا لتحيين فإذا زالت الشمس رمينا رواه البخاري وابو داود. Likewise, this noble companion, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, we used to wait. See? Even those who, they are right there by the Jamarat, said, but we used to wait, we look at the sun. As soon as the time of Dhuhr comes in, then when we, these are the Sahaba, used to wait. وذلك لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لتأخذوا عني مناسككم. Because the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he was performing Hajj, he used to say all this, repeat this statement, take from me your rights. Meaning do as I do. That's why the Sahaba, they saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, waited on those 3 days until Dhuhr time comes in. So they used to, even though they get there by the Jamarat before Dhuhr, but they wait. They don't throw the Jamarat until Dhuhr comes in. قال فالرمي في اليوم الحادي عشر وما بعده يبدأ وقته بعد الزوال وقبله لا يجزئ لهذه الحديث حيث وقته النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك بفعله وقال خذوا عني مناسككم. So throwing the Jamarat, you got 7 pebbles. When you get in front of the first Jamara, you throw 7 pebbles. There's like a little pool in there, little hole. It's very easy. You say Allahu Akbar and you throw those little pebbles. Alhamdulillah. Then you move to the second one, then you move to the third one. But this time is important. On the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th starts after Dhuhr time. Before it, it's not permissible. Why is it? Because the Prophet ﷺ, this is what he did. And he says, do as I did. Learn from me. Anything that he did, they should do it. قال فكما لا تجوز الصلاة قبل وقتها فإن الرمي لا يجوز قبل وقته ولأن العبادة توقيفية. And he gave an example. He said, can somebody pray Maghrib before Maghrib? Can somebody just pray Maghrib? Or somebody go home after he pray Isha? Or some masjid. Some masjid says, look man, it's difficult for us to get up, it's cold for Fajr. Let's just pray Fajr right now. We have Jama'ah after Isha. Okay, yalla, Mu'addin, call the Iqamah for Fajr. What are we going to do? We're going to pray Fajr and go home to sleep. Can we do that? Why not? It's not time, Ahsan. Because it's not time. It's not time for Fajr and you cannot pray Salat before it's time. You just can't pray Salat before it's time. Likewise, he says, you cannot throw to Jamarat before their time. And their time starts at Dhuhr time. And he mentioned a statement of Al-Imam Al-Allama Ibn Al-Qayyim Rahimahullah. He was mentioning and describing the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he do the Jamarat. And he mentioned that after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished Tawaf Al-Ifada, he went back to Mina in the same day, spent the night in there. In the next day, he waited until the Dhuhr time. Then he left his place when he's the tent when he's staying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he walked. He did not ride. He walked to the Jamarat. So he began by the first one that is close to Masjid al-Khayf. There is a masjid over there in Mina called Masjid al-Khayf. They mentioned that some 70 prophets prayed in that masjid. It's called Masjid al-Khayf, still in there. So he will do the first Jamara, throw 7 pebbles, saying Allahu Akbar with every one of them. It is not from the sunnah to throw all of them at once. 7, Allahu Akbar. The ulama, they said that count as one. Now if somebody did that, he has to go and look for 6 more. So you have to throw 1 at a time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Now it's easy, alhamdulillah, because they make 5 floors. Before used to be 1 floor and used to be a lot of mountains around it. It used to be so crowded and it used to be difficult. But now, alhamdulillah, the Jamarat are the easiest thing in Hajj. Then, Then what the Prophet ﷺ did, and we're supposed to do, once you throw these seven pebbles in the first one, because it is like seven of them, like this font right here, see? It's like one in here. You throw this one with seven. As the Prophet ﷺ was walking towards the middle one, towards the middle of the way, he stood up, the Prophet ﷺ, and faced the Qibla, because the Qibla is like that way too, towards Mecca. He faced the, no, not the Qibla in this masjid. Talking about the Qibla in Jamarat. Okay? This is the Jamarat, one after one. The Qibla is like that in this order, not in this masjid here. Ayyim. So, once the Prophet ﷺ, before he get to the second one, he stood for a long time making dua. So this is sunnah. You should do it. It shouldn't be your concern. Some people, their concern just to finish it. Yeah, your concern is not to finish. It's to do the what is good for you. So you stand up over there and make a long dua. Ask Allah for the khair in this life and the hereafter for you, for your family, for your loved ones, for your children, if you have children, for your wife, your parents. If you're not married, you're still single, ask Allah to provide you a righteous wife and righteous children and the like. You have family members who are not Muslims, ask Allah at that moment to guide them to Islam. You never know. Allah accept your dua. You come back and your mother tell your son, I want to be Muslim. Or maybe you call the phone to check on her and she's like, hey son, guess what? I went to your mosque and they gave me shahada. See? Making dua. So take time. Then you come to the middle one, the second one, which is the middle because it's between the smallest one and the biggest one. And you throw seven pebbles again. You say Allahu Akbar with each one of them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Okay, make sure it's seven, okay? Don't add. Make sure you have seven. Some people, they add one or two, it's just to be safe. It is safe. Do you add an extra rak'ah in Maghrib to be safe? Huh? Do you? You don't. So you have to be sure. Some people is like, no, I'm going to throw an extra two. Instead of seven, just in case. What do you mean in case? Where your mind at? Count. You know how to count till seven? Count it till seven. You have seven pebbles, that's what you do. You don't say, I'm going to add another one just in case. Because you don't add another rak'ah in Fajr just in case. You do what? As the sunnah tells us to do. Once you finish those seven pebbles in the second jamara, you're going towards the third one now. Likewise, in halfway you stop. And you face the Qibla, and you raise your hands also, and you make a long dua. You're going to see people just keep going. No, you're not there to do what the people are doing. You're there to do what is right. What people are going to do? They're just going to go back after Jamarat and go back and talk. No, you're going to stand there 20 minutes, half an hour, more or less, making dua. You finish that dua, Then you go to the last jamra. Likewise, now you have the last seven pebbles. You start with 21, now you have the last one. The last seven, you throw them again, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And there is no dua after this one. In the day of the Eid or in those 3 days. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not make dua after it. That's why we don't make dua after it. You make dua after the first and the second one. Now what the Prophet ﷺ did once he finished the Jamarat, what did he do? He went straight back to Mina. He went back to Mina. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has to be in this order, the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. He has to be in this order. You have to start with the Jamra al-Sughra, the smallest Jamra. That's the first one when you're coming from Mina. Because somebody may get lost and start coming from the other direction and start with this one. The one he should do the last, that he's going to do it first. La. Even if you're lost or whatever reason you find yourself now, by the last one, then you have to walk back and start with the first one. Okay? So you start with the first one, the one that is closest to Mina. And there is, they have, alhamdulillah, they are marked. Al-Jamra Sughra, the small Jamra, they have them in English and in Urdu, alhamdulillah, and French. Okay? And ask, there is, alhamdulillah, people over there, soldiers all around, police. There are people, students of knowledge, and there you ask them. And then you do the middle one, Al-Jamra Al-Wusta. ثم الكبرى وهي جمرة العقبة تسمى أيضا جمرة العقبة. And this is the last one towards Mecca. So they have to be in this order. And you gotta make sure that the pebble you throw fall into that hole. There is a hole in there. If you see it, didn't make it, then you have to do another one. You have to throw another one. And this used to be from before, like I told you, 10 years ago, you couldn't get close to the Jamra. So many people. And so, people, they used to just like throw stuff. They don't even know if you fail or not. But you have to make sure. But now, alhamdulillah, you don't have to worry about that. Because literally, you go there. Literally, you go there, and you're going to be just you on the Jamra, right there. You can even put your hand, like your elbow, like this, on the, what do they call it? Huh? They have this wall, you know, like a rail or something, you know? So nobody can fall in there, you see? It's like that. But still, if Allah wants something for you to happen, it will happen. Before, people used to get injured because, especially you're a tall person, and you went in Jamarat, and you're in front of people, and people, they start throwing pebbles way from behind you. And if you're a tall guy, man, you get, they hit you. A lot of people used to get injured because of the crowd. And I remember the first year when they clear, mashallah, they clear the mountains, and it becomes so easy, and they already put like three floors that year. It was like 2005 or 2006. 2006 maybe. And it was amazing, Akhi. Can you imagine? The year before that, 492 people died in Jamarat. Stampede, because it was how difficult it was. The next year, subhanAllah, we went, and literally me, our group, there is nobody between us and the Jamarat. We're right here. We're here, the Jamarat is here. Not even, like I told you, we're like this. And we couldn't believe it. And it was this guy from Egypt. He wasn't with us from the group. He came from Egypt. And he was astonished too. He's like, he talked to me in Arabic, in their dialect. Alhamdulillah, I understood their dialect. Much of it. And he was like amazing. He's like, wow, this is the Jamra. They told me this is difficult. We're not going to get. Allahu Akbar. And he hit me right in the head. Just me and him. And blood, subhanAllah. I remember that day. I'm like, what is this for? He was so, of course, he didn't intend to hit me, but I'm looking for a word. He was what? Excited. He was excited. And he wasn't even thinking. I'm right here next to him. The Jamra is over here. He threw over here. And if something, and of course I got hit other years, but I was in the midst of the crowd. But subhanAllah, if something Allah has decreed for you, you're not going to escape. Alhamdulillah. Now, however, the Shaykh says it is permissible for a person who's sick and cannot go to the Jamarat, or someone who is very old and cannot go to the Jamarat, a pregnant woman, and she's afraid for herself from the crowd, but now there is no crowd, alhamdulillah. Or while going there as well. All these people, those who have valid reasons, they cannot go to the Jamarat themselves. It's permissible for them to appoint someone to do it on their behalf. Okay? So they stay in Mina. The sick people, elderly, pregnant women, people who have valid reason. Not someone who's lazy, I'll just go do it for me today, do it for you tomorrow, right, brother, let's work together, a deal. No, it doesn't work like that. You do it today for me and you, tomorrow I do it for you and me. You can't do that. You have to have a valid reason. So, let's say I am the one, I'm going to do it on behalf of, let's say my mother, for example. My mother is making hajj with me. She's old, she cannot walk much. She did a lot of walking already as it is. In tawaf, in sa'i, in this and that. No, yes, I tell my mom, look, mom, you've done enough walking. You stay in here. Especially if our tents are far. Because if you go from, in America, for example, the American camps, they are like an hour and a half, 2 hours walk. One way, and then you have to go back. 2 hours, okay? And it's not 2 hours you're walking in a park. It's a lot of people, dust. SubhanAllah, dust, and it's not easy. So I tell my mom, stay, mom. You know, you've done enough walking. And then what I do, I have to take how many pebbles now with me? 42. Huh? 42. Why 42?
7 for each
Jamarat. Ahsant. 21 for me and 21 for my mother. Okay? And how I do that now? Now here I am in the Jamarat. What do I need to do? So I have to do for me and I have to do for my mother. How it's done? Who knows? If you don't know, say Allahu A'lam. And that's why we have this class. Who knows? Huh? Nah, Muhammad.
The first one, Jamarat, you do for yourself first. Uh-huh.
In the same Jamarat, or you finish the Jamarat, didn't go back?
The same.
Ahsan. That's the answer. What you do? You're going to do the first Jamarat, and you throw 7. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then you do it twice. While you're still there, you throw another 7 on behalf of your mother or your father or somebody in your group, that sick brother who you wanted to do it on his behalf, or that sick sister, okay?
No. You have to have intentions.
The intention is already in the tent. When you said, look, mother, stay here, I'm going to do it on your behalf, that's your intention. Alright? Alhamdulillah. As for standing there in Jamra and say, once, if that's what you mean, maybe, wallahu a'lam, because that's good, you asked that question. For somebody to say, he finished his and he says, oh Allah, I'm throwing now 7 pebbles on behalf of my mother, and like that, now you don't do that. The niyyah is in the heart. Likewise, you move to the next one, and you stood up, make long dua. At the second one, you do the same thing. 7 pebbles for you, 7 for the person you're doing on behalf. You move towards the last one, and then you make a long dua again. Alright? And then you go to the last Jamara, Jamarat al-Aqaba, or Jamarat al-Kubra. You throw it with 7 pebbles for you, and 7 for the person that you're doing it on his behalf. So the Shaykh, he says, some people, they think, look, he has to do all the Jamarat, then go back and start all over to do it for the other person. La. Now you just, while you're there at the Jamara, do it twice. Then you go to the next one, do it twice. Then you go to one, do it twice as well. Alhamdulillah. Now, that's what the Hajjaj do on those days, the 11th and the 12th and the 13th. But on the 12th, it is permissible for those who wants to leave Mina, they can. Those who wants to leave Mina on the 12th day, after throwing the Jamarat, they can do that if they want, inshallah ta'ala. Especially for those who have valid reason, because sometimes you may go in with a group, they already have like that night at midnight you're supposed to be at the airport. That's how the flight is. So you're not going to tell them, I don't care. You go ahead, man, I'm staying until tomorrow. Okay, why are you staying tomorrow? How are you going to get back to JFK? Now you have a plane to take, mashallah, you leave. But as long as you do the 11th and the 12th.
Al-Waqt? Fadda.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
stop here inshallah ta'ala. We continue next week inshallah ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslimin kathira.